Welcome to Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops. I'm your host, Matt Bruce, and on Troop Talk Radio, you'll hear our brave military men and women in their own words from wherever they're serving America in the global war on terror from. And now, let's get started with this week's show. Thank you for tuning in to Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops. Able to speak with retired Army Major General Paul Vallely, who is the chairman of Stand Up America at the website standupamericaus.org. And General, welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, Matt.
Now, it's always a privilege and an honor to be able to speak with you and to serve in a limited capacity that I currently do on your kitchen cabinet. But the news has been coming just fast and furious out of Egypt, out of Libya, out of five other countries where our embassies were attacked on September 11, 2012. What do you know about this, first of all, sir? And there's still ongoing activities there in Egypt, I might add, at Cairo, as well as this morning, the embassy in Yemen being attacked.
Well, Yemen and Tunisia now also is hitting the news. But from all indications and reports I'm receiving, this was a planned event and attack both in Egypt and in Libya to coincide with 9/11 again. So they're tracking that back to see if it has been in fact initiated by the Muslim Brotherhood and or in conjunction with Iran to stir up all the anti-American revolt that we see. And these are all inspired by using as an excuse a video or YouTube against the Prophet Muhammad.
Right.
But the question is, these things happening, what are we going to do about it? And that's the question that both Romney and Obama need to address. Of course, Obama will continue to apologize for America, but we want to see Romney really step up to the plate here and give specifics of what he would do or can do as a president of the United States.
Right. Well, we've got a couple of destroyers en route to the Libyan waters as they were previous during the no-fly zones and all that when Muammar Gaddafi was removed literally from power. We've also got fast units from Marines that are on the ground now at the embassy in Tripoli. I'm not sure of the status in Benghazi, but I understand they're en route there if they're not already there. But the other thing that really bothers most people is the fact that we found out that the security there, sir, was being handled by private security, either hired by the embassy or provided by the Libyan government because of something called a status of forces agreement that was talked about briefly this morning on Fox News by Judge Napolitano.
Well, I think there's a couple things here, man. Number one, the Libyan government, new government, isn't very well organized.
Right.
Still in their infancy. There's still a lot of factions and warring factions that are at work there. But normally, you know, when you sign a status of forces agreement, it deals with your troops being stationed, you know, on foreign soil under an agreement in contra to the Marines who are positioned at our embassies and many of the consulates, but more so the main embassy are usually guarded, and that's for inside the gate only.
Right.
The countries are supposed to provide the security outside the gate of the consulates and the embassies. So to me, this was a pre-planned event that would again attack America, and it spreads again all throughout the Middle East.
And folks, we're speaking with retired Army Major General Paul Vallely, chairman of Stand Up America US, the website standupamericaus.org. Now, General, the other thing that's come to light is where the president was when the news was first released by our intelligence at a daily briefing that they have in the White House every day. Now, obviously, President Obama was out on a campaign trail. I'm not sure where Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was. But for some reason, over a week ago, we were aware that something was stirring in the Middle East, and these messages were never passed up the line through either the Undersecretary of State or the Chief of Staff for the President into the proper hands. What do you know about that, sir?
Well, I don't know any specifics on that, Matt, but I do know that the National Security Team is very dysfunctional, and this is coming from even inside the administration, how dysfunctional they are between the National Security Council, the Defense Department, State, and the White House. So we have a totally inept system there of leadership, or I should say lack of leadership at the highest levels. That's why we see continued debacles occurring with this administration across the board. There doesn't seem to be any team that's there working in the best interest of the United States. And that even goes to the latest event that just happened with Netanyahu in Israel.
Yeah.
Where Obama said, well, we don't have time to meet.
Right.
This is having just been over into Syria, in that area in Turkey, I can tell you, Matt, the lack of respect and credibility we have in the Middle East. That's why, you know, we need to go to the lily pad strategy, find out where the threats are to America, and we take out those threats. It's just like now, what are we going to do about killing Al-Abbasir and three? I would make sure there's some targeting, and first and foremost, I would retract and deny any further U.S. dollars from going to Libya and Egypt.
Right, right. And
they have to be responsible nations, and they don't give money to us. We give money to them, and I would shut that off right away.
That's right. And folks are speaking with retired Army Major General Paul Vallely, chairman of StandUpAmericaUS.org. Well, there's also reports, General, coming out of Libya that we apparently lost the credibility of our CIA safe houses because we don't know where some of our government contractors are that work through the embassy there. We have no idea, haven't heard from them. So that's something else that could come back to bite us real soon, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it appears again that we have leaks in government, leaks overseas, even to show and indicate where our ambassador moves as he moves from A and B. He's supposed to be in a secure environment. And that's why we came out with the dishonorable disclosures that are occurring, not only within our own government, but between governments now. And so we're going to continue to see a lot of events like this, where we're taken in some parts by surprise, but in other areas, like you say, we know about it, but we don't act. We're not very well organized to deal with today's world.
Well, 2 days prior to September 11th, on September the 9th, it's being reported now that the embassies had credible evidence that some sort of protest or demonstrations or possible attacks were looming. And first of all, we did not put our embassies on high alert in the seven countries where we were in fact hit, and we also didn't go on lockdown. How come that was allowed to happen? Who screwed that up?
Well, to me, that's ineptness again in the national security team, because I know if I was sitting there and I identified those threats, I would put everybody on alert. I would man up to make sure that these locations are secure. And if we did not feel they were secure based on the threat, in other words, the threat is greater than they could handle, then I would make sure that we have our Marines offshore and our capabilities to be able to launch from our lily pads to secure those embassies and not go through something like we went through Iran, where our embassies completely overtaken and hostages are taken. So we need to really ramp up our national security all over. And if these people we have now in Washington can't do it, they need to be fired. And we need to put new people in immediately, secure America and our assets.
And folks, we're speaking with retired Army Major General Paul Vallely, chairman of StandUpAmericaUS.org. Well, General Muqtada al-Sadr has once again surfaced in Iraq, threatening the United States, threatening President Barack Obama, leading a demonstration there, talking about death to Obama, death to the United States, all that sort of stuff. This could come up to blow up in our faces again in Iraq, where we have about 17,000 people still inside the green zone in Baghdad.
Yeah, and that's another question, Mick. Why do we have 16,000 people in Iraq? I mean, it's just ridiculous. We know the overpowering of Iraq now by Iran. We know that Maliki is given access for the Iranian Revolutionary Guard to pass through over into Syria.
Yeah, they're flying over.
And on the ground.
Oh, okay, on the ground, too. I didn't know that, but I knew they were flying over.
Maliki moved two Iraqi brigades over to secure the area so the IRGC could pass through.
Wow.
And just Assad. But we've completely lost control of anything inside Iraq. Now you have a dominating Iran, but 16,000 people in Iraq, it's ridiculous.
Right. And finally, General, to throw a little humor into a very somber series of events with our embassies, the Democratic National Convention did something the Republicans didn't do, and for the life of me, I don't understand why I'm sitting down here in Tampa where they had their convention and CENTCOMs across the pond that they didn't do something stirring like the Democrats did for the military. But the Democrats brought out a bunch of Afghan and Iraqi war veterans, had a beautiful picture up on stage of the Russian Navy behind them. Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable.
It's so bizarre today.
How could they do that?
Anyhow, go ahead.
How could they do that, sir? How could they be so stupid?
Well, because they are.
Wow. Unbelievable. And a four-star general standing on stage that looked back at the picture and never said a word. I mean, good Lord.
Well, I mean, it's also ridiculous. I had Chairman of the Joint Chiefs attacked me and other retired people for standing up against these leaks as if us retired people don't have First Amendment rights. But it just shows you at the top of the military leadership how devastatingly stupid they are. I thought Admiral Mullen was weak, but this General Dempsey's weaker than anybody that I could have even anticipated would be our top military guy.
And what happened to General David Petraeus? I mean, he was as gung-ho as they came. They stuck him into CIA, and basically he's been very silent and not heard from.
Yeah, the only thing we've heard of General Petraeus, he went over to Turkey a few weeks ago and to discuss the Syrian situation, but that's the only thing we heard. And
well,
of course, I think they've kept him tightly in the CIA closet over there for their own reasons.
Well, to cap this, General, to recap this, and folks are speaking with retired Army Major General Paul Vallely, Chairman of StandUpAmericaUS.org, to recap, the Egyptian embassy still under onslaught from demonstrators out in the street. At least now the Iraqi army and police are there in force to not allow them gain access. In Yemen, where our embassy was attacked this morning, upwards to 1,000 security from Yemen forces showed up and thwarted that. Shots were fired. People were injured. Don't know the numbers yet. And then there was what happened in Libya, which was an outright attack, assault by terrorist elements of a radical Islamic group. And we believe it was Al-Qaeda. We believe it was Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula retaliating for drone strikes against a couple of their leaders. And this, what are we going to do? I mean, what do we have to do to secure our embassies?
Well, in some cases, you could say, well, we just need to get the hell out of these countries, shut off the aid, and let them fend for themselves.
Yeah, if they don't like us, goodbye, see ya. Yep, if they don't like us, goodbye, see ya, right, sir?
Absolutely.
Yep. So I guess the answer is cut off the aid, at least in these... Cut off the aid, at least in these countries where we know that we've got problems until they give us the answers. And maybe just cut off the aid altogether in these seven countries where we've already had attacks. And I believe there's now eight or nine because there's been a couple more. And we did mention early on Tunisia. That was another one that flared up.
That's right. Again, you go back to the lily pad strategy. We identify through good intelligence where threats are to America. Okay, or to American assets.
Right.
Then we launch against those targets, take them out to come to home base. I'd get rid of every base we have in the Middle East, attack from the outside, just like we did in the fall of 2001 against the Taliban in Afghanistan.
Yep.
And I would shut off aid to them. I'd shut off aid to Pakistan. I'd throw more of the responsibility over to India and China to take care of that area. We've got to secure and save America first. That's what we have to understand.
Well, I'm sure everybody that's listening to this program, 99.9% of them agree with what you said. And folks, we've been speaking today with retired Army Major General Paul Vallely, Chairman of StandUpAmericaUS.org. You can become involved and become part of the solution, not part of the problem, by becoming a member of the organizations that are listed over there. And General, I'm proud to serve on the Kitchen Cabinet.
Thank you, Matt. You're a great asset, and you've got a great program, and all my best back there to CENTCOM and the SOCOM and all the military and the great citizens you have back there in Tampa. And we've got to support and stand up for America. We've got to get tough. We've got to put this country back on track. We've got to do it now.
Absolutely. Folks, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Enjoy the 100 greatest books of all time and never read a word. Listen to them instead on the Library of Classics MP3 player. Enjoy Moby Dick, Gulliver's Travels, Tom Sawyer, Little Women, and 96 more, all preloaded on the compact player. Listen while driving, gardening, working out, or relaxing in your favorite chair. It's the perfect companion for road trips or on a plane. For a limited time, you'll receive the easy-to-use MP3 player, headphones, belt clip, car adapter, and 100 classic audiobooks. You could easily spend over $1,000 to buy the entire collection. You get everything for just $99 plus shipping. That's less than a dollar a book. Order now and you'll also get 50 great classical music performances preloaded on the player. You're fully protected by our lifetime guarantee. If you are ever dissatisfied, get a complete refund, no questions asked. Call toll-free right now and order your library of classics.
1-800-721-5077, 1-800-721-5077. That's 1-800-721-5077.
Firefighters, EMS, law enforcement, military vets, current and former, listen up. This is the captain. Have we got a deal for you? Get the credit you deserve for serving your country. Have you ever gone to buy a car or truck only to find out the interest rate you were being charged was twice as much as you thought it was going to be? Well, now you can go to DefendProtectServeAutoLoans.com to find out how we can save you money on your next auto purchase. That's DefendProtectServeAutoLoans.com. Call 855-937-2588 to find out more. That's 855-WE-SALUTE. Defend, Protect, Serve, AutoLoans.com, 855-937-2588. That's 855-937-2588 to save money on your next auto loan. Tell them the captain sent you.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few. The proud. The Marines.
You're listening to Troop Talk Radio on the Phoenix Broadcasting Network. Phoenix Broadcasting, where quality talk radio shows can be heard. And welcome, everybody. The Captain's America Radio Show is on the air. More conservative, stimulating talk here. Your home of common sense on the radio in the Tampa Bay area and beyond. And we're talking about, as you well know, intel with some of the best intel analysts in the country, both current military, former intel, and current intel. We've had them from all sides of the aisle, as well as a few people that just wanted to render an opinion. But joining us today, we've got Steve Lucky, a former U.S. Marine, served in Vietnam, and he's an international security expert. And first of all, Steve, welcome to the Captain's America Radio Show, and welcome home.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Now, we both had the privilege and honor of serving under General Paul Vallely. Now, he wasn't a general when I was serving under him. He was a colonel. But in the same place, the same time, a number of years ago. Now, as a Marine, what were you doing there, sir?
Well, actually, he was in Tuiwa in April of 65. And I was with the Korean Marines down there with the 2nd ROC Marine Brigade.
The ROC Marines.
I was an advisor of the ROC Marines as a Marine, and he was down there with, of course, with the Army, you know, Special Forces Group.
Right.
First, I believe. Yeah.
Right. Now, the reason we're talking today is because of a couple of things. First of all, I believe America's intelligence right now are flawed. I don't think people really know what the heck is going on, and if they do, we're certainly getting a really bad example of it. We've got a couple of people, and there are a couple of civilians, although one of them was in the military. The intel chief, as he's known, James Clapper, 38 years in the military. And then a guy by the name of Tom Donilon, who's a national security advisor who has no experience at all in intelligence, who's advising the president. And the guy was a money bungler. He's a politician. These are the people that have been feeding the information to the president, the vice president, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and even U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice. I think we got a real problem in D.C.
Yeah, we certainly do. The admin appointments have been terrible. You know, I have friends that work in the D.C. area in the intel business, and everyone's of the same opinion. It's just these people aren't capable of handling the job. There are poor choices. There's leaks in there. The media is in the middle of this thing as well.
And, folks, we're speaking with Steve Luckey. Now, Steve Luckey also has got a website. He's involved with the general. We'll tell you about it at the end of the show, but it's NEMO, N-E-M-O, NEMOarms.com. You can go there and check it out. It's a brand-new weapons company, and we'll tell you all about that. Okay, back to intel in the Middle East. When did things start going south? Was it when this administration came in, or was it previous to this?
No, definitely when the administration came in. I mean, you could see it degrading all the way in all areas. I mean, if you look at the rules of engagement, the ability, the staff, everything else, it just went south. And I don't understand why exactly. It's a politification situation. It's a political correctness situation. But the operators that operate around the world are very frustrated right now.
Yeah, for sure. And Steve, the other question I have for you when it comes to our intel in the Middle East, we don't really have boots on the ground per se in some of these countries. We've actually gotten out of some of the countries because of this, for lack of better words, pacification or let's just all get along type of attitude coming right straight out of the White House, don't we?
Absolutely. You know, I work with Israeli intelligence. I work a lot with the British intelligence. I work with Hugh MacLeod, who runs Sterling Ascent over there. Uh-huh. And these are MI6 great people. They have fairly good connections all over the world. And they're all of the same opinion as well. That, you know, U.S. intelligence is slipping greatly. We aren't even listening to them, and they're giving us free advice for the most part.
Right, and we're speaking, folks, with Steve Luckey, a former Marine, served in Vietnam honorably. We're talking about security, intel, and he is an international security expert. You just heard who some of the people are he talked to. Well, let me compare notes with you. I know that on September the 4th, 2011, 7 days prior to the 11th anniversary of September 11, 2001, that there was an op-ed piece that appeared in the Jerusalem Post warning the United States about a possible attack on our embassies in the Middle East that was ignored.
You're absolutely correct. And I got the same thing as few as 4 days before. I've got some information that there was some advice given to the to our government, and they failed to even try to protect it, to get troops in there. And of course the rules of engagement and the ability to put troops where they're needed is also stymied. And instead of going after this thing and doing what we need to do, and if you look at the ambassador's personal records, his notebook,
his diary,
he came right out and said this. And you know, these people work directly with the Marine Corps. They primarily have you know, the Marines provide embassy security, but it's at a minimal, and this needs to be fixed. I mean, it needs to be, unless you can understand what the threat really is, you certainly can't address it effectively, and that's where we're at right now. They don't address the threat.
And folks, we're speaking with Steve Luckey, L-O-C-K-E-Y, Luckey, an international security expert, and also a partner with our good friend and former commanding officer, General Major General, retired U.S. Army, Paul Vallely, in a company called NEMOarms.com. And we'll tell you about that towards the end of the interview. Now, Steve, the other thing that comes to play right here, the other thing that comes to mind right now, is with the intel that we had, how come the Marines in Egypt weren't allowed to carry live ammunition when people came over the wall? And I understand they had rubber bullets, stun guns, and tear gas. How's that going to defend you from an unruly mob that might be armed?
Well, it certainly isn't. You know, this less than lethal thing is going crazy. It's just totally permeated the security business, law enforcement. I mean, look at the Border Patrol, the guys down there. They had beanbags and rubber bullets and stuff like that.
That's how Brian Terry got killed, because he had a beanbag weapon.
Exactly, and that's a problem we're running into all over the world. We're getting to the point where people don't know how to win conflicts. And basically, you know, all the successful generals that I've talked to say the same thing. You know when you win the war by killing enough of the enemy that they quit fighting, and then you've won. And it's that simple. It's not that complicated. You can't do it with rubber bullets.
Yeah, that's very true. And we're speaking with Steve Lockey, folks, L-O-C-K-E-Y on the last name. He's an intel analyst and an international security expert and a partner in a company called NemoArms.com. We'll tell you about that here in just about a minute. Now, my final question for you about intel, Steve, is this going to get any better under this administration, or do we need to clean house, start over?
Now, reality is a crisis away, and we just haven't had... They don't recognize any of these things. I don't know how much worse it could get than losing an ambassador, four people killed. It's just ridiculous, and I don't think it's going to get any better until we change the administration and fix it. By the way, last name is Lucky, L-U-C-K.
Oh, Lucky. What did I say?
You said Lucky. L-O.
Oh, okay. All right. Lucky.
You said it right the first time.
Yeah, well, you're Lucky Lucky. All right, now let's get into Nemo Arms. Now, that is a company making weapons, predominantly military weapons. I guess you felt the need for weapons to be made in the U.S. and ammunition to come from the U.S. Tell us about that company and how that got started.
Well, it was a general's dream to address the deficiencies in the weaponry in the military right now. The weapons that are coming out right now, we're getting a lot of failures. We're looking at two things. One's reliability, the other is accuracy. So what we're doing is taking the platforms that already exist, and we're fixing them, and right now we're working on a new weapon for Delta Force. It's an automatic 300 Winchester Magnum 1,000-yard gun with a 14-round magazine that's we use for the Delta Force people. They're down right now at range 37 in Delta.
I've seen a couple of the weapons that have been sent to me in some of the public relations issues that you put out there, and I can remember those days gone by, and boy, there was nothing worse than a weapon that jammed.
Absolutely. Yeah, as you well know, it killed a lot of people in the air.
Sure did. If you didn't have a pitchfork handy or something else that fired, you were in big trouble when they were coming at you in those assaults, those human wave assaults. But anyway, Steve Lucky's the man's name, NemoArms.com, the website. All right, what are we going to see from our military in the next couple of years? They're talking about $500 billion being cut over the next decade. That's $50 billion per year. Is that going to happen, you think?
Boy, I don't know. We've had, just tons of people killed. 6,500 people killed in the last 11 years, 49,000 wounded. We have to change that. We have to change the way we do business. And we can't do it by cutbacks. We have to address the threat. And, this is very important stuff. It far exceeds the obvious. And we have to provide our troops with the tools, the training, and tactical knowledge they need to do the job.
All right, folks, Steve Lucky's his name, L-U-C-K-E-Y is the way you spell the last name, Lucky, like lucky guy. He's an international security expert, former Marine, Nemo Arms, N-E-M-O, NemoArms.com, the website. And, Steve, thanks very much for appearing on the program today.
Thanks for the opportunity, and keep up the good work. You're doing a wonderful job.
All right, folks, the Captain's America Radio Show rolls on. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, did you know a burglar could break into your home and get away in just 5 minutes? A locked door may not be enough to keep a thief out of your home. Think about what you can lose, and then think about this. Now you can get a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-800-860-0392. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. So call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-800-860-0392. $99 installation charge. 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 a month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now. 1-800-860-0392. That's 1-800-860-0392.
Are you sick and tired of having to go to the post office, stand in line, and buy your stamps? Well, if so, have I got a deal for you. Listen up. This is the Captain. Go to 33stamps.com to find out how you can print postage on your home or office computer without ever having to drive anywhere. That's 33stamps.com, 33stamps.com to save money and stop wasting time. 33stamps.com. Just tell them the captain sent you. That's 33stamps.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
You're listening to Troop Talk Radio on the Phoenix Broadcasting Network. Phoenix Broadcasting, where quality talk radio shows can be heard. Going to be talking today with Major Anthony McGinty, who's calling us from Arlington, Virginia. He's the program manager for the Army National Guard PDHRA program. And we're going to let the Major tell you what that's all about. And hello, Major, and it's a pleasure to have you on the program.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be on the program. The PDHRA program, that stands for the Post-Deployment Health Reassessment Program. The program is part of the Army's commitment to safeguarding the well-being of all soldiers, active guard, and reserve. PDHRA seeks to proactively identify health issues before they become a chronic condition, as well as treat recognized health programs.
All right. Now, I understand that to be eligible for this, soldiers and civilians who've returned home from a combat zone more than 90 days ago are eligible for the three-part screening that's involved with the PDHRA program.
Yeah. Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Now, this is involving and goes all the way back to soldiers who've come home after March the 10th, 2005, too. Is that correct, Major?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Now, the PDHRA program proactively screens for potential health issues. What type of health issues are you looking for? What triggers something that might need to be referred to another level?
Any kind of health issue. It could be physical, it could be behavioral, any ailment that a soldier may have coming back. And again, this is broad across the entire Army and across DOD, but from an Army National Guard perspective, it is a way to identify issues with a soldier before they're released from active duty, so we can set up care while they're still everything's minor. Maybe a soldier has a pain in his leg that he needs to get addressed, and he's going to need follow-on care for that for some time. This is a way to identify any problems like that and take care of those soldiers and connect them to the proper services once they release from active duty.
All right, and folks, we're speaking with Major Anthony McGinty, who's calling us from Arlington, Virginia. He is the program manager for the Army National Guard PDHRA program. Major, I want to ask you, a lot of these National Guardsmen, as well as our regular Army personnel and Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, Navy, are doing multiple tours over in Iraq and Afghanistan. Are you finding out that the more they go over there, the more problems we're having, or is that not the case?
I'm not sure that's an area that I can speak with any real expertise. That really doesn't fall under the premises of the PDHRA program. I will tell you that the PDHRA program is available for all soldiers with multiple deployments. If a soldier deployed some time ago and now they're going to deploy again, each subsequent deployment they'll have the opportunity and the requirement to have a PDHRA screening.
Okay, very good. Now, the PDHRA may include soldiers taking part in another program which the Army calls the Battle Mind 2 training. Explain to us what that is.
Well, Battle Mind 2 training serves part of the PDHRA screening program. It's the PDHRA is three phase. The first phase is the Battle Mind 2 training. It's a video presentation that specifically designed for PDHRA. It addresses stigma by teaching soldiers that everyone's affected by combat. It normalizes common reactions, and it encourages soldiers to get help for themselves or a buddy early while problems are still minor. After the Battle Mind video is taking place, the next step is the screening. Soldiers will go and do an assessment. It's a form, computerized on a tablet. They fill out, answer all the questions. They'll ask a multitude of questions. They'll answer these. And the third part of that is they'll go see a provider. And depending on how they answer those questions, they may and may not be referred for further follow-up care.
All right. Now, I understand that soldiers, civilians, and even family members can visit a website on the Internet for more information about the PDHRA program. What is that website, sir?
Okay, the website address for the PDHRA program is http://FHP, for Force Health Protection, .osd.mil/PDHRA info.
Okay, and we'll mention that again before the end of the program. So there is a way that even family members can go check online and see what they need to know. And I also understand that the soldiers and commanders can check their PDHRA status in the Army Knowledge Online AKO under My Medical Readiness. So it sounds like all of this is very easy for people to do if they want to participate.
Yes, it is a commander's program, but it needs to be enforced by commanders, and we hope that it's not just if soldiers want to participate. We hope that they understand that they should participate, because sometimes soldiers just don't know how important it is to go see that provider and let them know that they have, you know, that bum leg or something like that, so that their any problems are caught right away.
Okay, well, unfortunately, one of the reasons that we're talking about this today is because of the unfortunate incident that happened in Iraq at Camp Liberty. I've interviewed a number of soldiers over the past years at Camp Liberty, Iraq. It's been one of my favorite places to chat with individuals. And an Army sergeant named John M. Russell, I believe he was from Texas, went berserk and had his weapon taken away from him because of signs that he was showing, and struggled with a fellow soldier and stole his weapon and commandeered a vehicle, and I believe he went back to the treatment center where they were treating him and killed five people, including Navy Commander Charles Springle, who was part of the 55th Medical Company stationed at Camp Liberty. This is the downside to what can happen, but the program not only goes on over here, it goes on in theater. Am I correct in assuming that?
Well, the PDHRA program is one phase of a three-part health program, and that those phases are the PHA, which is the periodic health assessment that all soldiers receive once a year. It's basically your standard physical. Then prior to leaving theater, it's required to do the PDHA, which is the post-deployment health assessment. That's the trigger point, which gives us the eligible pool of soldiers that need to have the PDHRA, which is the post-deployment health reassessment. So it's a three-prong deployment cycle health support for all soldiers that are deployed.
All right. And, folks, we are speaking with Major Anthony McGinty, who is at the Army National Guard Readiness Center in Arlington, Virginia. He's the program manager for the Army National Guard's PDHRA program. Major McGinty, I have spoken with numerous chaplains over the years, military chaplains, and I think somewhere along the line, before this program was initiated, I want to say around 2003 or 4, weren't the chaplains involved in this to a great degree?
So I can't answer that with a yes or no. I'm not sure of that. Chaplains have a wide range of areas that they assist soldiers. So it's possible, but I probably not under the premises of health support. So, but I can't answer that in the yes or no for with a definite.
Okay, well, I know I spoke with one chaplain who was at the World Trade Center when I was there with the fire service, and he was there with the New York Army National Guard, and he wound up going to Iraq twice. He's retired now, moved to California, where I understand he's fishing. But I'm trying to remember what it was that he told me they were doing, but they tried to identify stress problems and things like that in the field, and then tried to talk to the soldiers or whatever, and get them the help that they needed. And I thought at the time that that was something that was probably a program that was probably going to grow into what we're talking about today here, the PDHRA program, and perhaps it was the roots of it for all I know.
Chaplains provide multiple roles and programs throughout the military. One of their primary areas is to provide counseling. So for stress areas, that's probably accurate in that they do speak to soldiers and try to alleviate stress in theater. That's definitely true.
Okay, so then this clinic that this sergeant was going to, the accused Sergeant Russell, this was like a stress clinic or something?
Sir, I do not have particulars on the incident, and I do know it's still under investigation. I do know from reports on TV and news media that it was a combat stress control clinic.
Okay, that's the word I was looking for. I didn't know what they called it. Okay, back to the PDHRA program. Anyone who served in theater, whether they're military or whether they're a civilian, that includes the civilian employees that have been over there, Kellogg, Brown, and Root, and the like, after March 10th, 2005, now, are they required to complete the PDHRA, or is that voluntary?
It's a requirement. It is a requirement for all soldiers that deploy to complete the PDHRA.
Okay. In closing out our interview today, Major McGinty, I want you to talk to the audience and let them know, again, the importance of the program and why they should participate and not sit back on a sideline.
You know, the program is here for the soldier, to take care of soldiers. It's a part of the overall DOD's program to watch out for our soldiers. And most service members are going to experience normal reactions to abnormal stressors of war. They're normal. They're adaptive behaviors, which generally decrease. They even cease when service members return home. But sometimes there's ailing physical and possibly emotional stressors that may need further care, and that's what this program is here to do, to take care of every soldier that deploys and put them in contact with the proper care for future, to take care of that immediate need if there is one, and any needs that come up down the road.
All right, and Major Anthony McGinty, I appreciate you calling the program today up there at the Army National Guard Readiness Center in Arlington, Virginia. Again, you are the program manager for the Army National Guard PDHRA. I understand you got a bunch of our Florida National Guardsmen up there. Tell them a big ooh-ah for us, and we wish them the very best. And we're going to be sending a 40-foot container over there for some of those guys and gals. Unbeknownst to them, on May the 24th, we're going to fill a container up and ship it over there.
Outstanding. I appreciate you taking care of the soldiers like that.
Well, we'd have it no other way. And Major McGinty, thanks very much for calling in. And folks, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-564-8537. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-564-8537. That's 800-564-8537. Again, 800-564-8537.
Are you sick and tired of having to go to the post office, stand in line, and buy your stamps? Well, if so, have I got a deal for you. Listen up. This is the captain. Go to 33stamps.com to find out how you can print postage on your home or office computer without ever having to drive anywhere. That's 33stamps.com, 33stamps.com to save money and stop wasting time. 33stamps.com. Just tell them the captain sent you. That's 33stamps.com.
Everybody, this is the captain, and we're excited to tell you the great news about our show now being heard on Liberty Bell Radio. That's Liberty Bell Radio. Go there to hear the best conservative talk radio, The Captain's America, weekdays, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Central Time on Liberty Bell Radio.
You're listening to Troop Talk Radio, voice of the troops, on your favorite radio station.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Captain's America Radio Show. Thanks for taking time out of your busy afternoon to listen to us here on the new News Talk AM 1470, WMGG, Dunedin, Tampa Bay. And again, we have got the privilege and the honor of speaking with a good friend of the show, Les Rayburn. Les Rayburn, 35 years in the military. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fine, sir. And you?
I am doing so good. We just had the Coast Guard in studio. We had one of their chief petty officer from Clearwater, the air station there, and we were talking about the C-130 and how it's advanced since the days of Vietnam.
These things are not the 130s that we flew in Vietnam, I'll tell you. Have really changed.
Yep. And I was surprised. He's a pilot. He's got a commercial pilot's license, but he's never jumped out of a perfectly good airplane. I told him he didn't know what he was missing.
Yeah, it takes, you know, any coward can just hang on and land.
All right, well, I teased the segment, Les, by saying we were going to talk about some of those WMDs we found in Iraq. But before I do that, I want to talk about the president's speech last night, talking about bringing 33,000 troops home over the next year and a half or so, starting with 5,000 within the next 30 to 60 days, and then another 5,000 within the next 60 to 90 days, a total of 10,000 between now and the first of the year. Your thoughts on that, sir?
Well, you know, I've got some serious thoughts on Afghanistan. The generals want to keep them there. They say they need them to finish the mission. I've yet to figure out what the mission is. I don't know what the end state is.
What
is the end state? Mm-hmm. You know, the Mullen says it's a mistake to bring them home. We need to keep the troops there to finish the mission. And what is the mission? What does he consider the end state? We're going to keep them there an extra year to do what?
Mm-hmm.
And so they stay an extra year. What will they accomplish by staying an extra year? If you're going to bring 30,000 home, bring 63,000 home,
mm-hmm.
or keep them there a year and bring everybody home. I don't understand why keeping them there an extra year is so important. Although, you know, during the summer and the spring, or the fall, I guess that's the heavy fighting season.
Right.
I'm just not real sure what the end state is, because no one in this administration has articulated what the end state is.
And one of the reasons that's the heavy fighting season is because that's after they harvest the poppy.
Oh, yeah, after the poppy.
Yeah.
That's right. I understand that part. But I don't know what the end state is.
Right. Now, let's ask this question, because there's a lot of people that have asked me about this. You know, there's a mineral they found there, and it may be the world's largest supply of it, and it's lithium. And, Les, what do they use lithium for?
Batteries.
Yeah. And who is it that's trying to go electric faster than yesterday?
Well, welcome to General Motors.
Yeah, and also China is trying to figure out how they can get their hands on it, because they've had a major move to go electric, but they've got a little problem. They don't have enough batteries.
Well, they don't have enough natural resources for anything, and their economy is growing at an astounding rate. You know, they've come from actually third world status to challenge us for world dominance in an astonishing short period of time.
Yeah. Now, let's go back to Iraq. Now, you have served with honor in the military, and thank you for your service, sir. And you also did something as a civilian contractor where you had the assignment to go out and find these artillery rounds and whatever you could find that most people would have considered to be weapons of mass destruction by the definition that was in place. You found them. You destroyed them. People keep telling me they're amazed at your story. It's a true one. So let's go ahead and talk about it. What was it you were doing?
Oh, well, we went to all the ammunition depots. We went and collected ammunition. I was first started out down around Basra, Azabair. And we collected up ammunition. We went up, went all over the southern part of Iraq, down around Basra in that area down there. And he had ammunition spread out all over Iraq. And we would go collect up the ammunition, load it on trucks, and then we'd take it to big sites, and we'd stack it in these 100-ton piles, 130-ton piles, and we'd destroy it. We'd find it in different locations scattered out, and we'd find the ammunition supply points with magazines and bunkers. And, in fact, our camp was located at a big Iraqi ammunition supply point.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd collect this stuff up, and we'd take it out and blow it up. And every now and then we'd come across an ammunition supply point that had, weird things. We'd come across around Fallujah, we came across an airbase near Fallujah that had a dispenser that fit up under aircraft wings.
Right.
And this dispenser was used to dispense liquids. And obviously the liquids were...
it was the gas they were using, right?
Yeah, the gas.
Yeah.
Used to... dispense things like ricin, and that was the one thing that we had found was a ricin dispenser.
Sure.
So we added that to the pile, and we just blew it up.
We know that he had mustard gas from World War One, because we were the ones that gave him the mustard gas.
Oh yeah.
Did you find any of that? No, I
did not come across any mustard gas, but we do know from intelligence that they did load a lot of stuff up and drive it across the desert and take it into Syria. Now,
right.
Now we do know that from intelligence.
Yep.
And we did come across and find some artillery shells that had been emptied. Now, they had been emptied and drained, but the shells themselves, the hollow shells, we did find some empty shells that had remnants of ricin shells.
Mm-hmm.
We found some of those, and... we put those in the pile and blew them up too. Now, when we blew them up, they were obviously these fires were extremely hot and destroyed
right.
it. And
right.
we put those on the fire and we destroyed those too.
And I'm sure it was perfectly clear white smoke that came out of the pile, right?
Oh yeah, it was nice. And then these are big explosions. You put 135 tons of explosives in a pile, and these are some.
Well, I was being facetious, Les, because I know some of these gases were emitting red clouds, blue clouds, green clouds, whatever they were at the time.
These would be real small, minute amounts because we were mixing them in with just tons and tons of conventional explosives.
Right, right.
But we did find it. I mean, it was there. But we found small amounts. And don't get me wrong, we didn't find any great big huge stockpiles.
But how did Gaddafi manage to get his hands on some of the stuff that reportedly was in Iraq? How did he get his hands on that stuff? You think he bought it from his little buddy Saddam?
Oh, sure he did. Okay. Saddam was bought it, gave it to him. Saddam was a supplier of the world. You know, he wanted everybody to have it.
So, Les, that leads us to the present. We're in Libya. We keep being told there's no combat troops in Libya, but I'm here to tell you, when we've got logistics and transportation people with boots on the ground, when we've got MASH units with medical facilities on the ground, we've got security, those are boots on the ground, and I guarantee you they're there with their weapons. Am I wrong?
Oh, no. I don't think you're wrong. We have to have some folks on the ground. We don't put people like John McCain and some of our politicians to go into Libya and talk to these rebels. And we don't put some of the folks that we have on the ground.
Yep.
And we don't do the precision bombing that we do without some people with some guidance systems on the ground. And we're not getting the intel we're getting without people on the ground. I would bet a large sum of money that we have special operators on the ground. And we've had them there for a while. So I think, yeah, you're right. We've got people on the ground, and that we don't have them, and I'd look at them and laugh at them.
So my final question for you today, Les, and folks, we're speaking with Les Rayburn, a 35-year military veteran. My final question for you is, we come to the border. We come to a situation on the border which is not getting better. If anything, it may be getting a little bit worse by what we keep hearing going on down there. Shouldn't we have our military down there?
If I were king for a day, I think that our southern border is more dangerous than Libya, that I would move the United States Army to our border and I would patrol our border and I would secure it with the United States Army, and it is more dangerous than any war we're fighting.
Well, Les, I couldn't agree with you more, my friend. Always a pleasure to speak to you here on the Captain's America Radio Show. Your website is lesrayburn.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
I'm waiting for the book.
You and my wife both. She beats me up about once a week about it.
Okay, well, you know, when I'll tell you what, when you get it, we're going to buy it. So you got one sale, you know, of, well, two, your wife and me, right?
Yeah, you and my wife. That'd probably be the only two I'd sell.
All right, well, Les, thanks very much for your service to our country. Look forward to speaking to you another time, my friend.
All righty.
Okay, folks.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Did you know that dehydration starts before you're thirsty? Most people live their lives in stages of dehydration, causing fatigue, anxiety, irritability, depression, and headaches. Ah, there is an answer, and it's ultra-pure polarized water. Wata, that is. Wata, an Aquanew water, is refreshing and smooth as silk to drink. Visit our website to learn more at aquanew.com or order online. Find out about store locations and our free local delivery information. Call 1-888-936-2782. Ah, Wata, improving life one swallow at a time.
Hi, Jimmy Z here, and you're listening to the Captain's America Radio Show, your place for more stimulating talk at the home of common sense right here on NetTalk World, Global Talk Radio, where you can also hear Kyle Warren, New Media Journal Radio, Talk Show America, The Unsolicited Opinion, Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops, the Caden Cowger Program, Tea Party Radio, Patriot's Heart Radio, and Living the RV Dream. And of course, the Jimmy Z Show, right here at NetTalk World.
I'm an American soldier, an American. Beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take the